This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
كن سعيدا كن فريدا عش بفخر في الحياة لا تبالي فالمعالي.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is your brother Bona Muhammad here on another episode of Hangout, where we basically just hang out. You know what I'm saying? We get some of our shuyukh, our teachers, interesting people in the community, and we sit down and we chat and we have one-to-one, heart-to-hearts on various issues from all walks of life and society and anything that really interests us as Muslims in the West. So on this episode, we have a really special guest, someone who I admire, I look up to greatly. He's kind of known as the love doctor of Egypt, coming from Egypt, all the way from Egypt. None other than Dr. Ridha Bidair, mashallah, tabarakallah. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
Wa alaikum, assalamu alaikum.
How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair for joining us here today.
Thank you for having me.
Alhamdulillah, it's always an honor to see you. And we had you this weekend at the conference, the Sakina Community Center conference, alhamdulillah. So we've been really getting the best usage out of you as possible.
Thank you so much. And I just want to say something. I love your smile.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you very much, Shaykh. So I thought this episode we would talk about marriage. Because I know, mashallah, you have a lot of experience in marriage. You've been married for quite a number of years. Me, I'm kind of a newbie. I've been around the block, you know, a couple years now. I've been married for about 3 or 4 years. But there's still so much knowledge about marriage that I just don't understand. You know, so many things about women. Sheikh, what's the deal with women? What's the deal? Why are they like... Okay, I know they're connected to us, but they're so different.
Of course, like, you know, I don't want to start by saying women are complicated creatures, you know, and for men and women to live happily together, they need to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in a different way. Mm. You know, we're not the same. And it's amazing when you ask a woman, describe the best man you want to get married to, she's going to be describing a woman. I'm serious. And if you ask a man, you know, describe the best woman that you want to get married to, he's going to be describing a man. Because we as men think the same and women think the same. Mm. So you want a female who thinks like a man. And she wants a male who thinks like a woman. But we're different. Amen. The way Allah created our, you know, the way we think, the way we act, the way we react. Mm. For example, you know, sometimes you go back home, I'm not sure whether you have been through this, and you'll find your wife all of a sudden crying. And then you say, honey, why are you crying? She's going to say, I have no idea. And then you keep repeating because you really want to share that you care. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, honey, I just want to help here. Like, I can't see you crying without doing anything. Yeah. Can you tell me why are you crying? She's going to say, I told you, I don't know. And then you insist and then she gets mad. It's like, you know, I told you, I don't know. Yeah. And he's like, you know what? Cry your eyes out. And then you leave the house. Subhanallah, she really doesn't know. Yeah. And you will be amazed, you come back home like after half an hour, and she's going to come close, she's like, you know, how are you? It's like, what? Were you the person crying half an hour? It's like, yeah. Why were you crying? It's like, I told you I don't know. Why do you want to bring it up again? So just let it go. Yeah. And this is why the Prophet said, you know, sometimes you see things, he said, like, a good believer is al-mutaghafil. There's a difference between ghafil and mutaghafil. Ghafil means heedless, careless, unmindful. But mutaghafil, you see things happening and because you know the nature of the other person, you just like, let it go.
Let it slide.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Well, I know, that's very, mashallah, I think very, a lot of wisdom in that advice because I think, like you said, you know, there's a lot of people who I think have unrealistic expectations of marriage. I know for myself, for instance, you know, before I got married, I had this whole laundry list, mashallah, of everything you want. You know, you want her to be like this, and you want her to be this tall, and you want this family, and this amount of Quran, and all these things. And sometimes, you know, the expectations are unrealistic. You know, it's like you said, you're looking for someone just like you, or you're looking for someone just like this, but sometimes that's not even what's best for you. Right, you find sometimes that someone who maybe is the complete opposite of what you had in mind sums up the right spouse for you. But still, there are so many brothers and sisters out there that are struggling to get married. You know, we see it every day. Guys and girls, they're getting desperate now. They're doing things that they wouldn't have done 20, 30 years ago. They're going online. They're, you know, holding different events in the masjid and trying to do these. Matchmaking service is a huge industry right now in the Muslim community in the West. What do you have to say about that? What do you think?
First of all, Akhi, sometimes people, they don't know anything about marriage and they learn through marriage. So those people who rush into marriage without knowing what marriage is, they end up having so many problems. Mm. Like back in the days, I used to live in Calgary. And like, you know, we all know that the rate of divorces are really going high. And I will conclude a marriage contract for a couple and they will come to me after a couple of months and say, like, you know, it's not working. Yeah, and I was like, when it became a phenomenon, it's like, you know, hey, let's stop here. And I developed my class called Engagement Before Engagement. And I said, you know what? For anyone who would like to come to me, you need to attend that class and pass it. Because at the beginning, they used to come. You know what? The body's here and they're not there. Mm. I said, okay, the test is coming after a week. They're like, uh-huh. I said, yeah, because you need to take it serious.
Right.
So for some people, you know, when you say marriage, it's like it's a word, right? Mm. To me, it's something really, really much bigger than a word. Man, it's a sentence. It's a life sentence. and some people, you know, they take it like, I'm serious, Allah, I'm saying like, it's a life commitment. Some people think, you know, in marriage, inshallah, we're going to have fun. You know, we're going to spend nice time. We're going to read the Quran. We're going to do this, yeah. And there's no responsibility. There's no chores. There's no bills to pay. Mm. There's no pregnancy. There's no pain. There's no disagreements. And then once they hit, like, the real life, they was like, oh, I didn't know that. This is why, you know, Islam, you know, came up with the best scenario for marriage. First of all, there's something called, as I said, like in my class, engagement before engagement, right? So what's meant by engagement? Engagement is like, in Islam, we define it as a non-binding promise of marriage, out of which either party can walk away without any responsibility. And again, you know, I know some people will be upset by what I'm saying, but again, who cares? Because this is what Islam says, meaning we come together.
Okay.
The man proposes, and of course, the way he comes through the door, not through the window. You know, like some people come through like facade book, you know, Facebook, and, you know, texting and emailing and stuff. Yeah. No, you know, and in subhanAllah, you know, teaching at the university, sometimes I see couples and I know that they are Muslims, especially like back home. So I stop and I really spoil the relationship because I stop there and say, who's he? Who's she? And then they give me the dirty look, like, who are you? You know, and of course they know that I'm a professor at the university, so it's like, you know, listen, he's a very bad man. And she looks at me, it's like, you know, how dare you say this? Like, you know, she doesn't talk, but like, you can see it in her eyes. And I say, if he's a man, he shouldn't be sitting with you now. You know why? Because if your dad goes by now, he's going to run away. Mm-hmm. Right, Mr. Boss? And he feels embarrassed. And I say, if he's a real man, you know what? Mm. He should come and knock on your door and ask for your hand. He's just passing time now, you know? Mm. Just having fun. But when he intends to marry, he's not going to marry someone who's dating. And then I say, am I right or right? Then he says to me, he's like, I say, you see? And then she starts fighting and then it's all gone.
Yeah, but Sheikh, you know, I think there has to be an in-between. Like, for some people, this idea of, you know, like, I understand the idea of engagement, but for some people, they still feel like you never really get to know the person in an engagement. You know, when families get involved, it's still very formalized. Everybody has their nice face on, you know. You don't see the person like how you would see them when they're married. What is the solution? I know dating is not a solution. It's not allowed in Islam.
No, akhi, alhamdulillah, we love dates. We eat dates in the morning. It's a sunnah. But we never date. That's a different story. To tell you the truth, like, when it comes to engagement, that's what people don't know. The man would come and sit with her in the house. You know, the door should be open, but then they can have their private conversation.
So they can be kind of away from the family. It's
but again, the door is open because the Prophet ﷺ told us, you know, if a man and a woman is behind a closed door, shaitan will be their third. Mm. So, but if you know that the door is open, anybody can come in, people can hear what you're saying, then you have some privacy, but in the same time, you know, you will not be allowed to do something haram because, right, you know, shaitan will always be there. Mm. so they can sit together and discuss everything. And people don't know the right questions to ask.
Like, I mean, I always thought the you know, a lot of questions that you hear people ask are like, okay, you know, how much Quran do you know? And they'll ask you about, you know, just kind of like
the
generic
dumb questions.
Okay.
You know,
so what are the right questions? What should somebody be asking?
Some of the questions would be like, you know, what is difficult for you when it comes to Islam? Then you get the person to think before they speak. And then you say, when was the last time that you missed Fajr? So if he says, what do you mean by Fajr? So you know what type of person you're going to get married to. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you get angry, how do you act? And how do you react? If I do something that bothers you, how much would you keep it within you without sharing it with me? Okay?
Okay.
You know, there are like there are really real questions that can tell you about the person. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Who are you inviting into the wedding? You know? So during that period, like they should discuss everything except one thing, which is the emotions. Today, in our real life, people, they discuss nothing except emotions. Engaged people, they're exactly as if they are engaged people. They're going to send text like, you know, I love you, I miss you. This is totally impermissible. You can't discuss emotions because she's a stranger and he's a stranger. They have no rights upon one another. But they can talk about future plans. For example, what about my education? Would you allow me to continue my education? Because they assume, and after marriage, like, no, you have to stay at home. Divorce. Who's going to be in charge of finances? She assumes because in her house, the mom is in charge. Then the guy comes and says, like, you know, I'm going to be in charge. Like, you know, no, you're not going to do like my mom. Divorce. What about children? He comes into the marriage, like, you know, I want to have children right away. She says, no, I want to have children after 2 weeks. After 2 years.
You better.
You know? So, you know, we discuss everything. Where are we going to live? You know, I'm going to travel a lot. Would you accept that? Because later on, she says, like, you know, I didn't know that you're going to be traveling. You know, I can't handle this. I'm not going to leave my country. I'm not going to even leave my neighborhood. And then they get divorced. So we discuss everything, like, what's the plan for the future? And then what do you want to get to know? You want to get, like, you know, how does the person look physically? You know what I'm saying? Let's not, you know, because people get their ideals now from where? From the movies.
TV, movies, internet.
Exactly. But when we go back to the pure sources of the Quran and the Sunnah, we will learn that, you know, engagement is important, and you get to know the person at least 10 to 20%. You marry them, and you will get to know 10 to 20%. You stay with them for life sentence, 25 years, you will learn about 2 20%. You will die at least knowing 60%. So don't ever tell me that when you live with a person, you're going to know them. It takes a long time when you interact with them. Because when Umar radiallahu anh asked the man, do you know so-and-so? He said, yes. He said, have you traveled with him? He said, no. He said, have you dealt with him financially? He said, no. He said, you don't know him. This is how we develop knowing the person.
I mean, you spoke a little bit about it, but I want to expand more on the idea of weddings. You know, I think specifically, you know, different cultures have different expectations for weddings. Alhamdulillah, my wedding wasn't extravagant. You know, it was very cheap. The families came together. You know, we did like just basic from the sunnah. But weddings can be a big fitna. You know, there's a lot of things that go down. I know some people, for instance, they want to do something, you know, more conservative, I guess more in line with Islamic values, but the families are completely opposed to it, and the families want to do something huge, and they, you know, the girl wants to ride it on an elephant, and they want to have this whole like big band and music. And so how do you compromise like what your parents want versus what you want versus what's Islamically correct versus what's cheap? You know, how do you find the balance between all those things?
In fact, you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a young man and a young woman to get married, they should start their life with obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they should go back and say, what would please Allah? Because, you know, by the end of the day, wallahi, I've seen this with my own eyes. There was a couple who followed the culture. They did like a wedding in a huge hall in a hotel just to show off. So the brother starts, who pays for that? The young man who's getting married. So he starts his life with a debt, just to show off. Does this make any sense? Now, your parents will say, You pay for the wedding, I invite the people. Who on earth would say that? Yes, we invite everyone. Okay. Number three, Islam tells us there is no mixing. What happens in weddings today? Yeah. In fact, everybody is dressed up to try to, you know, catch a match within the wedding. This is not Islam. Yeah. And the more you expose of your body, the more dazzling to the eye, your soiree and that, and the, you know, the men. And this is not Islam. You have music. And subhanAllah, today, just to go and visit some people and they have the Quran on, they're going to say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. What happened? So the Quran is linked to the dead. SubhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Yasin, He said, لِتُنْدِرَ مَنْ كَانَ حَيَّ. The Quran came for the living one. But we have the Quran when somebody dies. You know, wallahi, you know, I'll just tell you like a personal experience. There was a young man who was away from Islam. He was not practicing. And then he just came to pick up his sister from one of my halaqas in Calgary. And then he attended a story that I was sharing at the end, and I cliffhanged everyone. So he ended up coming the following time to know the end of the story. And then, subhanAllah, that was his beginning, and he started coming to the masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided his heart. So when he wanted to marry, he brought his dad, and he said, he was like a thug before marriage. So he told his dad, like, listen, this is my sheikh. Whatever he says, you know, it's like an obligation. He's going to be in charge of my marriage from A to Z. And it was, subhanAllah, we started a trend there. We did like from A to Z, an Islamic wedding. And subhanAllah, many people followed that after that. Inshallah. So we had two halls. They are wealthy people, alhamdulillah. We had two halls in a hotel. One for the sisters, one for the brothers. We have an ashid. I was standing there doing stand-up comedy for them with other people. Like, we had fun. We made competitions for all the audience. Men were separated from women. And you know what? There's no that social hypocrisy where everybody's trying to put a face on their face. Like you see how we are, like, you know, easy talking now, like freestyle.
Yeah.
That was it. Mm-hmm. Men were with men, women were with women. You know, there's an ashid here, there's an ashid here. There's no music, there's no mixing. Everything was halal, and everybody left with a DVD, with a booklet in the competition. It's like, you know, even the competition was funny and informative at the same time. It's like, you know, who can give me, you know, an ayah where Allah's name is mentioned? And you know, one of the uncles would say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. It's like, hey, mashallah, takbir, come. We give him a DVD. So everybody felt happy. We had like competitions. Young people, come, race. And then we give them something.
Okay, but how do you balance, like, for instance, between, well, just maybe a quick response, because I have a couple things more I want to ask you, but how do you balance, like, if my parents, for instance, are going to be paying for the wedding, or I know that my parents are very invested in, you know, my wedding, and they are very persistent as to, for instance, something like music, or they're very persistent as to, you know, a lot of times you see girls, mashallah, muhajaba, she wears hijab, everything, but the wedding day, the parents will say, no, we want you to take off hijab. You know, what do you do? Is that time you can disobey your parents, or you can disagree with them, and you can, you know, make a stance and go against what they ask?
Of course. Of course, because we obey our parents unless it's disobedience to our Creator. That's the rule. But again, how do you do it? Do it in a nice way. You know, because...
Use hikmah.
Exactly. This is where we need to use hikmah. You know, you can't say, like, you know, music is haram, you know, and like, you know, I'm not going to do this. You know, just trick them around. You know, bring like, brothers who have like beautiful voice, have like a background of like, you know, like natural, like, you know, sounds like, you know, the sea and the sea. Get them exposed to something, like prepare them before that, like, you know, we want to watch that wedding. See how it was very good and we're obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, what if that person dies on that day when they took off the hijab? Are they obeying Allah until that day? And I saw that couple, they were driving out of the hotel drunk. And they were driving and they ended up like, you know, crashing in a tree, and both of them died without even consummating the marriage, drunk. So what would be their defense in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So get them to listen to this. You know, we obey Allah, and until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with a great gift called marriage, then we disobey Him on that day. Let's drink, let's take off the hijab, let's have music, let's mix, let's... We have to start our life showing Allah that, you know what, we are grateful to you by obeying you, not by disobeying you.
Allah musta'an. May Allah help us, Sheikh, because I know that the community definitely is dealing with this marriage crisis, as we like to call it. But I can really appreciate all the wisdom you shared with us here today, and I'm sure the viewers took away a lot of great gems, inshallah. So jazakallah khair, Dr. Dabideh, for being with us, inshallah. May Allah grant you a long life and a lot of wealth and happiness in many years to come, inshallah.
Barakallah. Can we share something about the in-laws at the end?
Sure, sure. Okay. What do you want to share?
You know, there was a mother who had three daughters and they were married.
Okay.
And she wanted to know how her sons-in-law love her. So she went with the first one, you know, and they had some fun time on the beach. And while she was swimming, she pretended to be drowning.
Okay.
And that was, you know, the eldest one. So he rushed and he saved her. So the following day, he found a black Mercedes in front of his door with a gift card saying, "Thank you so much. You saved my life, your mother-in-law." She wanted to do the same thing with the second one, and he did the same thing with her. She pretended to be drowning, and he saved her. Following day, he found a silver BMW in front of his door with a gift card saying, "Thank you so much. You saved my life, your mother-in-law."
A very generous mother-in-law.
Yeah. Then she went with the third one, and she did the same thing, and she pretended to be drowning. What he did, he pushed her, and she drowned. And she died. Following morning, he found a red Ferrari in front of his door with a gift card saying, "Thank you so much. You saved my life, your father-in-law."
On that note, Jazakallah khair, Sheikh, for joining us, inshallah. Stay tuned for more episodes of Hanging Out. Hang out where we hang out and really just kick the can with so many great people like Dr. Bidar. Jazakallah khair for watching. Barakallah feek. We'll see you next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. كن سعيدا كن فريدا عش بفخر في الحياة لا تبالي فالمعالي